I've given the title for our message this morning, Treasure in Her Heart, a Sword Piercing Her Soul. And I want to start by asking you, what was it like for Mary after Jesus was born? What was it like for her during Jesus' childhood? I would suggest that it must have been a bittersweet experience for her. On the one hand, she had treasure in her heart. But on the other hand, there was also the sword that would pierce her soul. And just to put some of this into context, let's say that Luke chapter 1 outlines the annunciation of the birth of John the Baptist and the annunciation of the birth of Jesus, followed by the actual birth of John the Baptist. And then Luke chapter 2 details the birth of Jesus, the visit of the shepherds, and the childhood of Jesus, all in one chapter, all in Luke chapter 2. And this is the only chapter in the whole Bible that gives any details of Jesus being presented in the temple as a baby and his visit to the temple when he was 12 years old. And apart from Matthew's gospel telling us very briefly that Jesus resided in Egypt for a period of time before settling in Israel in the town of Nazareth during his childhood, apart from that brief mention in Matthew's gospel, Luke chapter 2 is the only record we have of anything during Jesus' childhood. So for that reason, I'm going to suggest let's read Luke chapter 2 and you will see just how much Luke has fitted into one single chapter. So if you have a Bible, please turn to Luke chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Imagine that this happened today with child protection and so on. Look at this next verse, 46. After three days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Could we please move to the next slide? Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, of course, we talked about the birth of Jesus and the shepherd's visits just recently over Christmas. So we will not major on that again this morning, except to remind us of verses 16 to 19, in which we are told the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. In this chapter, Luke chapter 2, we're going to find three instances where a similar thing is being told to us, and I'll give you all three together at the end. Mary treasured the words of the angels as reported by the shepherds, and she pondered these words in her heart. Let's move on to the next slide, please. And I've called this slide Obedience Amidst All the Busyness. Because if you look at verse 21, you'll see on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. I wonder if at times you have felt that you've been so busy you've somehow neglected the call of the Lord on your life. But you see, here we will see that Mary and Joseph were obedient to God amidst all the busyness. They were obedient to the law of circumcision that had been given to Abraham. And they were also obedient to the command of God through the angel to call their baby Jesus. There was a lot going on in their lives at that time, but they were obedient to God. And so we have to pause for a moment and ask ourselves, at the beginning of this year, we're still in January, what about us? Are we obedient to God amidst all the busyness of life? Let's move, please, to the next slide. And this slide, I've given the title, "They Could Not Afford a Lamb, But They Brought the Lamb." Please look at verses 22 to 24. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, what's interesting is that these words in Luke chapter 2 actually quote from Leviticus chapter 12. But what's interesting is that Luke only records part of the command found in Leviticus. And so for that reason, I think it's worth reading the command in its entirety. So if you are able, please turn to Leviticus chapter 12. And here we see the command in its original form that Joseph and Mary were obeying when they took Jesus to the temple. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, a woman who becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days, just as she is unclean during her monthly period. On the 8th day, the boy is to be circumcised. Then the woman must wait 33 days to be purified from her bleeding. She must not touch anything sacred or go to the sanctuary until the days of her purification are over. If she gives birth to a daughter, for 2 weeks the woman will be unclean as during her period. Then she must wait 66 days to be purified from her bleeding." So what we see here is that there are different rules depending on whether the baby was a boy or a girl. Reading on from verse 6, "When the days of her purification for a son or daughter are over, she is to bring to the priest at the entrance to the tent of meeting a year-old lamb for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a dove for a sin offering. He shall offer them before the Lord to make atonement for her, and then she will be ceremonially clean from her flow of blood." So in the case of a boy, they needed to go to the temple 40 days after the boy was born. And here is the calculation for you. Circumcision on day 8, and then 33 days for the woman's purification, starting on the day of the circumcision, making a total of 40 days. If we carry on reading, verse 7, "These are the regulations for the woman who gives birth to a boy or to a girl. But if she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring 2 doves or 2 young pigeons, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In this way, the priest will make atonement for her and she will be clean." So do you notice that the default command is that people should bring a lamb and either a pigeon or a dove? One lamb and one bird. That's the default command. And yet, we see the compassion of God all the way back in Leviticus, where he's saying this might be onerous for people who cannot afford a lamb. And so we've just read, if she cannot afford a lamb, she is to bring 2 doves or 2 young pigeons. That is to say, bring a dove or a pigeon as according to the default law, but bring another dove or pigeon in place of the lamb if she cannot afford to bring a lamb. Poor people were allowed to bring an extra pigeon or dove if they could not afford a lamb. And it would appear that Luke only quotes the words relating to 2 pigeons or doves because Mary and Joseph could not afford a lamb. Let's just talk about Joseph and Mary's finances for a moment, if we can. Joseph was a carpenter, so he would have earned money. But they have just done a lot of traveling in order to register in Bethlehem. There's a suggestion that registering also had to do with paying of taxes. He will have been away from work for quite a while. They will have been traveling a lot. If they did have any savings, before the decree to register in Bethlehem, it may be that they would have spent their savings during this rather difficult and taxing time. A newborn baby and a journey and official papers, documentation, bureaucracy, and so on. So we can assume that Mary and Joseph could not afford a lamb, and so they brought two pigeons or doves instead. But what else did they bring? They brought the Lamb. They brought the Lamb of God. You understand what I'm saying, yeah? They brought two pigeons or two doves. They brought a pigeon instead of a lamb because they couldn't afford a lamb. But they brought Jesus. And Jesus is described elsewhere in the Word of God as the Lamb of God. And if you just want to see a real quick quote for that, in John chapter 1, verse 35, there's an account of John the Baptist at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And John the Baptist says, when he sees Jesus passing by, he says, "Look, the Lamb of God." So the Lamb of God is one of Jesus' names. Isn't this wonderful? Mary and Joseph, they couldn't afford to bring a lamb, but they brought the Lamb of God. In fact, I'd like to say it even more so. I would say that Mary and Joseph could not afford to bring a lamb as a sacrifice, but they could not afford to not bring the Lamb of God, who one day would become the ultimate sacrifice. They had to bring Jesus for two reasons. They had to bring Jesus to fulfill the Mosaic law, and unknown to them, they had to bring Jesus because they had a divine appointment with an old man named Simeon and a very old lady called Anna. So let's move, please, to the next slide. And I've given this slide just a simple name: "A sword will pierce your own soul too." Please look with me at verses 25 to 27, obviously back in Luke's Gospel now, Luke chapter 2. "Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts." Do you notice that in just these three verses, we have three references to the Holy Spirit in the account of Simeon? We are told the Holy Spirit was on him. We are told it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And we are told, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Today is not a discussion about the Holy Spirit, but it's interesting here to note that he is not described as being filled with the Holy Spirit, as was John the Baptist, for example. But the Holy Spirit is on him, influencing him and directing him. Now, did you notice something else? I would suggest that there was only one thing on Simeon's bucket list. What was it? To meet Jesus, yeah? The one thing on Simeon's bucket list was to meet God's salvation, to meet Jesus. So perhaps we ought to make a pause right now and say, what about you and what about us? What do we want to see before we die? Do we want to see the kingdom of God advance before we die? Do we want to see people saved before we die? Do we want to see Jesus glorified before we die? I know many of you have children, grandchildren, and families that you love. And we have to say this, our families are important to us. Our blood relatives are important to us. But what about the kingdom of God? Mary and Joseph are about to meet Simeon. And Simeon will say some wonderful things about Jesus. But he will also say something to Mary that will not be easy to comprehend nor to accept. Simeon is about to say to her, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." It is almost like one of those moments when we say to someone, "Do you want the good news or the bad news?" But of course, normally in that situation, whether you choose the good news first or the bad news, you've got to get both, yeah? And Simeon has a message for Mary, the good news and the very difficult news. So let's read on in verse 27. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the Lord required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." What wonderful words of affirmation regarding Jesus. Simeon has seen the Savior just as God had promised him. And now he is ready to die. It is the only thing that matters to Simeon, and it has been fulfilled. It is the only thing on his bucket list, and God has made it happen. And let me ask you, what do you notice about God's salvation in verse 30. Simeon is holding Jesus in his arms and he says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Jesus is the salvation of God, which God has prepared. And think of it like this, my friends. Salvation is not a thing. Salvation is not a vague notion. Salvation is not wishful thinking. Salvation is a person, and he is in Simeon's arms. Salvation is a person who is also God, and his name is Jesus. And just to back this up as well, briefly, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, we read that Peter says about Jesus in the book of Acts, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Now moving on in Luke chapter 2, the next verse should not come as a surprise to us. Verse 33, "The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about Jesus." Do you remember I said that there were three phrases that are similar? This is the second one. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about Jesus. So again, I think we need to challenge our own hearts and say, what about us? What about me? What about you? Do we marvel about Jesus? Let us focus on Jesus throughout 2026. Let us ask God to restore to us a sense of wonder and marvel as we meditate on Jesus. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. Hang on to those words, please. The falling and rising of many in Israel. And to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. These words that I asked you to hold on to, these words about falling and rising, have the same theme as the words that Mary herself declared in what we call Mary's song that we find in the previous chapter before Jesus was born. Do you see a similarity? Simeon is saying that this child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel. And in the previous chapter, Luke chapter 1, in her song of worship, Mary has said in Luke chapter 1, verse 50, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. Do you see that similarity? Simeon talks about falling and rising. Mary, in her song of praise in the previous chapter, had talked about scattering those who are proud, bringing down rulers, lifting up the humble, filling the hungry, sending the rich away empty. Simeon said about Jesus, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And then Simeon adds the words, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This message from Simeon, this is wonderful news, but it is painful news too. And I wonder if at times we become disillusioned with the gospel because we're looking for wonderful news, but we're not so keen on accepting the painful news that goes with the wonderful news. Is there anyone here who would have liked to be told that their son will be a sign that will be spoken against? Is there anyone here who would like to be told that their son will prove to be at the center of controversy? I don't think so. Simeon is telling Mary that her son will not have it easy. And in addition to this, it is going to be hard for her too. A sword will pierce her own soul too. Simeon tells Mary the good news and the painful news. And of course, don't forget, Mary was present at the crucifixion of her son Jesus and experienced for herself that sword piercing her own soul. And yet, even that bad and painful news is, of course, transformed into good news on the day that Jesus rises from the dead. Now let's talk for a moment about Simeon again. The name Simeon means he has heard, or it can mean obedient one. And I think this is significant. Simeon heard from the Lord and was obedient in bringing the word of the Lord to Mary and to Joseph. His message was not an easy message, but he was true to the Lord. And I think we have to challenge our hearts and say, what about us? Are we prepared to declare the word of God even when it is not easy? Let's move now, please, to our final slide. Do you like it when I say final slide? Does it? Yeah? Okay. And this final slide, you've got the words there, treasure, ponder, marvel about Jesus, our Saviour. We started by asking this morning, what was it like for Mary after Jesus was born? What was it like for her during Jesus' childhood? And we said that it must have been a bittersweet experience for her. On the one hand, she had treasure in her heart. But on the other hand, there was also the sword that would pierce her soul. It was not easy for Mary to follow the call of God on her life. And when Jesus was 12 years old and they found him in the temple, I sense that it was another event that was not easy for Mary. Let's remind ourselves of what happened. I won't read the account of Jesus being left behind. Let's just go to the reunion part. So let's have a look at from verse 45. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." That is the cry of any earthly mother. Any physical mother would ask that question. Why have you treated us like this? We've been so worried. But of course, this Jesus was no ordinary child. And he answers, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" And there's a sense of awe, and there's a sense of wonder about this. But surely there was also a sense that this was not easy for Mary either. We're told in verse 50, they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then Jesus went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. There's a sense here that this staying behind in the temple, this was ordained by God. There's no sense of disobedience on the behalf of Jesus here. And this is kind of outlined. Jesus was obedient to his parents, but he also had the call of his heavenly Father on his life. And we read here in this verse 51, but his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Do you remember I said that there's a phrase that we get three times, different forms, but three times. Let's have a look at those three phrases. So in this chapter we're in today, Luke chapter 2, verse 19, at the time of the shepherd's visit, we read, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then in verse 33, while Simeon is speaking about Jesus, we read, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about Jesus. And then verse 51, after Mary and Joseph found Jesus in the temple, we read, his mother Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And for that reason, we have on the slide these three key words: treasure, ponder, marvel. Let me ask you, how many of you would agree that it is not easy to follow Jesus today? Can we have a raise of hands just to see we're on the same page? There is joy along the way, but there is also pain and sorrow. Is that true? Could we perhaps learn a secret from Mary's experience during this new year 2026? Let us dig deep into our Bibles during 2026 and let us treasure, ponder, and marvel about what we discover about Jesus, our Saviour. Amen.